Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning entertainment podcast that is out every single week. On this episode, we will be discussing Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Is Marvel phasing out? Like, are we getting tired of some Marvel? Listener community questions from Patreon and whatever else we feel like it. Let's get on with the show. I don't know why I went that way, but whatever.
I think you forgot what you were going to say.
By the way, my name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, John Davenport.
Hey, buddy.
Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello. Proof of life.
Let's get into it. Go ahead, John. Finish it.
So I have to say that, you know, you have had a hell of a day trying to set up for this recording today. So
I have.
Listeners, if you can be kind to the finished product when we finally do get the finished product, whenever that's going to happen, Aaron would really appreciate you throwing him with a lot of love and a lot of care and being kind specifically to him.
It's true. So should we have the J.K. Rowling conversation right now?
Yeah, let's kick it off with that.
Nope.
Let's go ahead and throw that one out there. Where do you guys stand on the old?
Don't even talk about who plays Hogwarts Legacy. My goodness.
Oh my
God. Yeah.
There was a website that was actually tracking which Twitch streamers were playing the game to try to get people to boycott them. Also, it got taken down for hate speech, but it's a wild world out there right now. There's a lot going on, a lot of thoughts and feelings.
I'm convinced. Her name is actually Just Kidding Rowling.
Well done. Well done. Yeah,
it has been a hell of a day. I actually started the day, I spilled coffee on my laptop and fried it, and then I had to take it apart.
I knew it was going to be your own coffee. I knew it.
Yeah. Well, whose coffee would it be? Like,
well,
strangers
you just
come
said
by
that
and
it
just
got
threw it on my
wet,
laptop?
And
Ben
I was
Affleck
like
is throwing coffee at you?
He was.
Yeah, that's a good callback. That's funny.
J-Lo, I gave her a Dunkin' Donut.
Ew.
Wait.
No, seriously.
Did you sit there
you
and tell me
the pervy.
Right. I was going to say, did you sit there and tell me before we hit recording?
It's from the commercial.
You were like.
It's from the commercial. That's not pervy. That's literally from the commercial. It's the fact that you hear it pervy. That's the problem.
I heard it pervy too. I heard it pervy 30. Too.
It wasn't meant pervy.
I'm said sure you everyone gave her a glazed donut.
Oh my God.
She asked for a glazed donut in the commercial. That's the reference. That's all it is. Uh-huh. That's literally all it was. The fact that you guys won't accept it proves your perviness. I'm just letting you know. It does.
John and I are going to have a perv room on the cruise.
You know, don't get me started. Anyhow, I just want to point out that before we started, you were like, John, roll back on the perviness. I'm like, okay, great. I'll roll back on the perviness. And then you're like, J-Lo with the... I threw her a glazed donut. Whatever
it is. That's what she asked for in the commercial.
It's not just. Not just that. It's the way you said it, and you
I
know
didn't
it.
Say
it was sexual innuendo, Hollywood Outsider game levels of.
Fat yeah. guy likes Sing. Donuts. That's what you heard. That's all you heard.
Oh, is that what I heard? Fat guy loves donuts.
That's not what any of us heard.
It couldn't be like guy with a butt problem needing a donut to sit on, one of those inflatable donuts. It could have been that voice.
What?
Like
no.
Fat guy.
No.
This was a very Troy statement for you to make where we don't even understand what the hell you're talking about.
Nobody
don't even know what I'm saying
you.
Half the time. I'm not on my ADD meds yet. Obvious. It'll be soon, though.
Amanda. You started to say something, and now I don't remember what it was.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. I'm really just consumed by the glazed donut conversation, so I'm lost. Where are we?
I feel assaulted.
For those wondering, Troy won't be here for this episode, in case you haven't noticed.
Oh, yeah, we should mention
that. There you go.
That.
All right.
Oh, speaking of pervy.
No. True. No, it's really mostly you.
No, Troy's
it
pretty
really
pervy,
is.
Too.
Okay. All right. It's both of you guys. Right. You know what's not? It's not me. I don't really talk pervy. It was a freaking commercial reference because you mentioned the Dunkin' Donuts. That's all it
all
was.
Right.
And we're still
whatever.
On it. We need to move on.
Whatever makes you feel better, Aaron.
So anyway, Aaron's had a day. He spilled coffee on his laptop. He had to fix it. He had to throw the whole thing in
you
rice.
Got your version. I got the truth.
Yeah.
That's right. What we got. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I spilled coffee in my laptop. So it's been a day. So now I'm on my old laptop praying that it doesn't just crash. And go the way of the dinosaurs.
The dodo?
That too. That was a dinosaur, wasn't it?
No, the dodo was a bird.
But wasn't it a dinosaur bird?
No, it wasn't a dinosaur bird.
That's a velociraptor.
This is a subject you shouldn't argue with me about.
I'm not gonna.
He said, I know my damn dinosaurs.
I know my damn birds.
All right. No, well, be proud of it. I know my birds.
Ooh. I am proud of it. It didn't get me girls in high school like I thought it would.
Does it get you girls now?
It sure wouldn't.
You know, if they're environmentally minded, it might help.
Honestly, it might. But then you're going to be eating vegan for the rest of your life.
I eat vegan now.
Oh, all right, then. You're set. Okay.
Let's move on. Let's please, dear God, let's move on. We are getting a new Riddick movie. Yay. We're getting a new Hellboy live action movie for some reason.
It's another reboot.
Yeah, Hellboy's a reboot.
Yeah. Riddick can't be a reboot because there's no way Vin Diesel's going to let go of that. He only has three voices.
That's true.
He has three modes. Just flip the switch, wind him up.
I am Groot. Family. Well, anyway, it's weird that's going on.
They could send you to the slam. It costs you 15 packs of cigarettes to have your eyes glazed like this.
I like those glazed. Really? Nice reference.
That was good.
I see what you did there.
You son of a bitch.
I see what you did there. Okay, well, this is a pretty loose episode. It's not as focused as normally.
Wait, where are you going? We got to talk about Bruce Willis.
Yes. Bruce Willis's condition has moved on to dementia, so he officially has dementia, which is it's one of those diseases that's just not fair to anyone involved, the family, the person who has to suffer through it, and it's really, really heartbreaking for a lot of people, I'm sure. I'm just speaking for myself because I absolutely love Bruce Willis. I have for most of my life. He's a big part of who I am as a person in terms of my entertainment influences. David Addison, John McClane, but really more David Addison was a big impact on me as a kid. So it's just heartbreaking to see when your heroes struggle, but Godspeed, Bruce.
Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, it's always unfortunate when you lose one of your heroes, but I feel like it's even sadder when they're still here and you feel like you're losing them at the same time.
Yeah.
That's the sad part. So we're sending our love to the Willis family and everybody who has to move through that emotionally and in their life. It's difficult. I can't even imagine.
There's something harder about that, I think, than many other diseases that people just don't talk about. I mean, because you lose your sense of self and your family loses their sense of yourself, you know? So
it's definitely something that attacks the family a lot. The person who's suffering from it has their own battles. Sometimes my grandmother had pretty bad dementia, and she seemed like she was having a great time most of the time until she was thought you stole something.
Did you, though? Because I know you, and I wonder, did you like move her favorite chair and stuff? Were you that guy?
Well, she also never recognized me. From the age of 29 on, she stopped recognizing me. And it used, like, me showing up to see my parents because she stayed with my parents used to scare the shit out of her. Because, you know, I'm not necessarily a small person. And so, yeah.
So we don't want to keep the whole podcast in that arena, but we just had to mention it. I mean, it's one of the biggest stories in Hollywood, and it's just heartbreaking. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something a little different later. We're going to do community questions, but from Patreon supporters. So if you support us on Patreon, we are going to start doing every month, month and a half, whatever it is, we're going to start taking questions from Patreon supporters that we'll discuss on the main podcast. Kind of as an added benefit to being a Patreon supporter because it really, really helps the show. And we're trying to incentivize you. Plus, John has his half hour power hour that he's doing over there on Patreon. So just go to patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. That's patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. And we're still going to have our From the Outside In topic. And we are going to talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania at the end of the show. Wait until the end because John hasn't seen it. So Amanda and I will talk about it. We'll probably talk about it with some spoilers. We'll give you fair warning. So patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. So if you want to support us so that the next time we start asking for questions, you are already a supporter and you can see it and throw your name in the hat. Now, our From the Outside In topic. ¶¶ Is Marvel phasing out? It's a deep question.
Not for me.
People have opinions on this. Hang on. Hang on. Hang on.
Okay.
Give me a second just to spit it out there, Amanda. All right? Just give me a second. Now, what I'm saying is, are you burned out on the Marvel? Is it phasing out for you? Are you getting tired of whatever the reasons? Is it phasing out for you, Amanda? Now you can go.
Yeah, I'm struggling, especially with this latest phase from Marvel, to enjoy everything that comes out. I feel like I've been more underwhelmed than even neutral for the majority of the properties that have come out. There's been a couple that I've been like, wow, this was fantastic. But I also feel like at some point too, we're just churning out, like, why are we churning out properties without them being as top tier as they, as the rest have been, the majority have been. I feel like every phase has had at least one movie that was maybe a little bit of a disappointment, one that you weren't a big fan of. But for the most part, the phase collection has been pretty solid until now. And I don't know if it's just me being overly critical because I know what they're capable of producing and creating for us, but it's just not meeting the same expectations. And I don't know, it just isn't worth it for me as much anymore. I'm even this movie, this being Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, I wasn't even ready to like go to the theater opening night, whereas most other movies from Marvel in the past iterations, I've been there opening night on Thursday. So it, to me, I think it's just a reflection of the quality going down, where we're getting more quantity, but at the expense of the quality. And I'm just kind of bored by some of them. And they're too long. A lot of them are way too damn long. I'm not a fan right now, except for Scarlet Witch.
Obviously. Scarlet Witch, we know. So, John, where are you? And I know you haven't seen Ant-Man yet, but that's the beginning of Phase 5. So you still have all of the Phase 4. Is Marvel phasing out for you? You're a huge comic book fan. I mean, this is kind of like you waited for these worlds to come to life for your whole life. I am too.
Yeah.
What about you?
Is it phasing out? So the question's an interesting one. I don't know if it's an issue of whether or not it's phasing out as far as am I feeling fatigue? Because I do find it's hard for me in my, especially for the past year, it's hard for me to figure out where I am fatigue-wise or interest-wise in a lot of things. However, when I watch some of these Marvel movies separate from the idea of, you know, is it a Marvel movie or is it anything else, I think they're all roughly in the same, with a few small exceptions, roughly in the same area of quality. They're entertaining romps that have some sort of world to it that we can enjoy and take a fun ride with. Now, what I think has happened to me in general is that since the last Avengers movie, I keep on going to the movies thinking I'm going to see another Avengers movie, and it's just not that, and it's never going to be that until we get to a point where they're developing more Avenger movies. So the short answer is I don't think they're necessarily phasing out. I think my expectations are out of whack.
Okay. Well, here I wanted to illustrate how my opinion is working based on, I want to run through just Phase 4. Okay, this is just Phase 4, which started in 2021, right? It was January, very beginning of 2021. Now, this is over the course of TV and movies, right? This is just Marvel. You guys ready?
Are we reacting ready with you to like good or bad, yay or nay on the stuff you're reading?
No. Just let me get through it. So here's the list. WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Loki Season 1, Black Widow, What If Season 1, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, Eternals, Hawkeye, Spider-Man, No Way Home, Moon Knight, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, Ms. Marvel, Thor, Love and Thunder, I Am Groot, She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, Werewolf by Night, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, and Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. That's over the span of 2 years, and keep in mind a lot of those are TV shows with multiple episodes. That's a lot of content. Now, I know Bob Iger, since he took back over Disney, is saying he's going to bring the quantity back down and focus more on the quality. But this is the damage has already been done, if it's been done for you. So that's why I'm listing all those to explain. That's why, for me, it's phasing out. Because very few of those jump out as, damn, that was different, or damn, that was unique, or damn, that was doing something that I haven't seen done better in previous iterations of Marvel. So, I mean, and there's a lot of them, honestly, that I didn't like at all. Thor Love and Thunder, I thought was awful.
I literally will never watch that movie again. That's how much I didn't enjoy it. I was mad that I had to sit through and finish it.
I had fun with it.
Okay. I won't watch Quantumania again, which we'll talk about later. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't think it's an awful movie. It's just a movie that I don't think works. There's something very specific that, you know, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but there is a tag in Quantumania. Skip ahead a minute if you don't want to hear this, but I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm just telling you the reference that only works if you saw Loki season one. If you didn't watch Loki, the TV show, you won't understand, unless you're a comic fan, you won't understand the stinger. And I think that is not cool. I know Marvel has said that we were going to do that, but with that much content, man, so am I only supposed to watch Marvel shows? Is that the deal I have to make to enjoy this still? I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's fair. And I don't think it's fair to expect audiences to devote all of their time to all of your shows to understand everything.
Well, to their credit, the Marvel shows are probably the best thing that the Disney Plus app has on it.
I don't agree with you. I don't like most of them. I don't love most of them. Okay, they're fine. Finished half of them.
Like, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I thought was great. I've already waxed philosophically about how great I thought She-Hulk was. The rest of them were watchable. They were enjoyable. They were okay. You know, in that range of what it was they were watching, we were watching. The thing that, you know, you listed off that list of what Marvel has done. I sat there going, I enjoyed that better than I enjoyed Eternals. I enjoyed that better than I enjoyed, something else, Wakanda Forever. I enjoyed that better. Right. So I sat there thinking about it. The shows were, to me, a bit more enjoyable than what we saw in the theaters. And that is a crime.
Agreed. I like a lot of the shows. I do. I agree with you. I feel like I've liked more of the shows than I have the movies in the past phase, at least. But
yeah, I mean, that's my only point, is that the shows have been better than the movies in general.
Yeah.
Is that more because you prefer to watch television than it is the movies themselves? Because I'm looking at this list. This is just me. Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Spider-Man No Way Home, Doctor Strange. I really dug all of those. Wakanda Forever was pretty good, but it wasn't great.
Forever wasn't great.
But the movies, except for Thor, I like the movies more than any of the shows.
Black Widow was fun. Shang-Chi was fun. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, a lot of those movies were great, but they're not hitting the same stride.
That's not what you're saying. You both just said the shows were better than the movies, and I'm just saying I don't think that's necessary.
I'm not saying that they're better, but it's more like I feel like there's more uniqueness in the shows than the movies have. Even the ones that I really like, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I mean, if you look at that movie, loved it. It has Scarlet Witch as one of our focal points. So, of course, I'm going to enjoy it as long as she's done right. But here's the problem. Sure. Let's also be honest. A lot of what happened in that movie kind of contradicts what happened in the WandaVision show. And I felt like WandaVision was more substantial in terms of character development, in terms of story development, whereas Multiverse of Madness was more about showcasing the evil parts of, I guess you could say, of Scarlet Witch, and that doesn't really do as much for the progression of the story. So I feel like we've gotten more progression in the phase, which is what the whole intent is supposed to be, that there's a connection, that we're getting we're moving in some direction, that these are somehow intertwined. And the movies, at least in my opinion, while I love them, a lot of them, not all of them, definitely not all of them, I've also never had so much disdain for some of the Marvel movies, like Love and Thunder. I'll just use that as an example. And with the TV shows, at least I'm more neutral or very much like. Whereas with the movies, it's been, I really like or I really hate. It's split me a lot more, but I still don't feel like there's the same progression that's needed, especially in the movies. Movies are where we should be having the most progression for our story. And I feel like it's actually the opposite, that it's TV shows where we get more.
It crosses my mind that at least for me, some of my issue comes into just the, well, not only just what I just lived through, but also just the amount of media there is out there to consume. And if I have exhaustion to Marvel, it's only because Marvel has been unable to get past a lot of that exhaustion than other properties have been. Like, it used to be, I would be super excited about anything Marvel coming out. But because now I'm more exhausted about just everything that there is out there to see and everything there is to do and how much time it's going to take and, oh my God, what's this? Marvel has now landed itself in a position, because there's the TV shows, because there's the movies, that I feel like I have to give them more of my time versus what I used to, which is to show up in a movie theater and enjoy and take a break. Now it's, I have to do homework.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's frustrating for me. I, like I talked about earlier, I do not think it's fair to expect audiences to watch everything you do. I should be able to watch an individual movie, and if you wrote it well, I should understand what's going on. And I shouldn't have to, I mean, if you want to throw in an Easter egg for fans or something, I understand that. But overall, I should understand what's happening from start to finish without having to have watched something else. Now, granted, the stinger I complained about, it is a stinger. So it's not really part of the movie. So, I mean, you can throw that out as an Easter egg. You can say it's an Easter egg, and that's fine. But fine. I mean, I let that go. The movie I had a problem with, not with the stinger. But overall, I think, you know, it's unsure of exactly where I was going with my point.
That's fine. I have a question for you guys. So
thank God.
I'm curious. God. So I'm going to read you guys what's coming out for Phase 5, just to kind of reiterate it. And I'm curious if any of you have, if there's a substantial number of either films or TV shows that you are excited for, if you're like more neutral, whatever. So just give me your reaction on that. But we have in Phase 5, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Woo woo. I'm excited for that one.
Me too. Looks good.
If the Christmas special was any indication, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, absolutely. True. Yep.
The Marvels.
Nope.
Yeah.
I like Miss Marvel. I like, is it Monica? Is that?
Yeah.
Monica Rambeau. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Monica Rambeau. Thank you. Her, but I still, to this day, I'm sorry, Brie Larson. I love Brie Larson as an actress. I find her performance of Captain Marvel bland and boring. So no, I'm not.
Same. We've also got the new Captain America New World Order, which is going to have Anthony Mackie as Captain America.
I'm excited that he finally gets. You're what?
I'm excited for that, for sure.
I'm excited. I want to see him finally get his chance to shine.
And Harrison Ford is in it.
Okay, so Harrison Ford. Okay, let's not jump down this rabbit hole with that. because the comics, what's supposed to happen is that Bucky was supposed to become technically Captain America, and then it's supposed to become Sam Wilson. The fact that we jumped Bucky to get the Sam Wilson, I think, is a better story. It carries over the thing that makes Captain America great. He had that heart and that greatest generation feel to him, where he understands right and wrong in a level that some people have a challenge with. He doesn't live nearly in a world as gray as some people do. And even though it looks like some of the things he's doing are gray, he's very much black and white about it. I'm trying to shorthand the things that are great about him. Now we get to Sam Wilson, and he has very much the same kind of Captain America heart to him, but he brings his own flair, and the way Anthony Mackie plays him is so sincere in the way that he wants to reach people and help people who have been suffering. That makes me excited for where we're taking Captain America.
Fair enough. So what about Thunderbolts? I'm excited for Thunderbolts. I think that that one will be decent. Don't know that it'll be exceptional, but the cast is incredible.
I'm excited for Thunderbolts for a couple of different reasons. One of the things I did read, even though I try to keep myself pretty void of movie insider stuff, is that supposedly Bucky is going to be the leader of the Thunderbolts. Even though they hinted at it being Black Widow's sister, which that would Yelena. Also work, but still. Yelena, yeah.
Florence Pugh.
And this is where we're also going to probably see more of Harrison Ford as the character he's playing.
It's basically, I mean, kind of a nerfed Suicide Squad for Marvel, right? Mm-hmm. That's essentially what Thunderbolts is.
Yeah, essentially it's what it is. If it's comedic in any way, like Suicide Squad was, or it, you know, pokes fun at something in any way, like Suicide Squad, it's going to be not great. But if they take it more of a more serious route to it, then we'll probably be okay.
I don't think that they're going to be serious, because they're going to have Julia Louis-Dreyfus in it, and she's always going for humor. So I think they're going to have kind of that side of things. Plus David Harbour.
Did you see her in Wakanda Forever?
Did you see any of Marvel movies? Did any of them except Wakanda Forever go serious? Like really serious?
All right. You know what? Fair point. Touche.
We can at least probably all agree that we're excited for Blade, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
We don't even need to talk about that.
They're already having problems trying to find a director, but my God, make Blade work. I think that I love Blade. I love Blade.
So. I'm okay. It's not something that I'm going to be jumping up and down for until I see the finished product.
So for John, half of the movies he has neutral or no interest in. The other half he's excited for. Aaron and I have like 4 out of 6 of the movies for Phase 5 that we're interested in. But what I'll say is going into the TV series, because there's 6 for each, 6 movies and 6 TV shows. There's Secret Invasion. There's Loki Season 2. Ironheart. Nope. Echo.
Nope.
Agatha, nope. Coven of Chaos. Yes.
Nope.
Yes.
And Daredevil Born Again.
Maybe.
I'm excited for all of them. Some more so than others, but none of them am I like, I don't want to watch that. Whereas there are 2 movies in the films of the phase where I'm like, I just don't care. Like if I miss it, I don't feel like I'm going to actually feel like I've missed anything.
So Loki season 2, I liked season 1 enough, but it wasn't something that I think deserves a lot of great things to it. Ironheart, for what we saw her in Wakanda Forever, she's, I'm sure, a great character. I'm sure people are going to be excited to see her. There's going to be a lot of great things to people to be able to enjoy that. But for me, as someone who viewed it, I did not appreciate, not I guess appreciate is not the right word. I did not get as excited for her as I had hoped I would be when I saw her on screen.
But Anthony Ramos is in it, and I'm all about that.
I am a big fan of his. He's going to be in the new Transformers movie, too. Good for him.
Good for him.
Yeah. Good for him. I'm not driving. It's not me.
Can I jump into my thoughts on the TV show, or are you still going?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you were talking to me.
Secret Invasion. I definitely want to see that. I think that will be very cool. Loki. I didn't like season 1. I finished it, and I will never watch it again.
Are you serious? Don't you hated it that much?
Didn't like it. I'll never go back to it. I'm very big on, like, if I'm not like riveted, I'm not watching it anymore. I got plenty of stuff that I am riveted by.
I'm
Why do I need to watch something
you
that I didn't like?
Disliked it that
I
much.
I did not like it. Did not like it. Ironheart. I might watch. I like the character enough. Didn't love the character. I mean, it's basically just female Iron Man. That's all it is. And, you know, I like Iron Man. I like Ironheart. But I don't like it enough to watch a whole TV show. Echo, I don't think we need a TV show, but I do like the character. So I might give that one an episode and just see what they're going to do with it. You know what I mean? I might see what they're going to do with it. I really love the idea of creating a Marvel hero like Echo, or not really hero, villain like Echo, and giving her own show. I think that's a cool spinoff idea. I just don't know if it's going to work. Agatha, Coven of Chaos. I know she's great, but I like her as a supporting character. To me, this just reeks of too much. We don't need it, but I might give it an episode, but I'm not excited about it. Daredevil Born Again. I'm a big Daredevil fan of the comic. I was a huge fan of the comic. Netflix was fine. I don't like D'Onofrio as Kingpin. I think he's cheesy as hell. I know I'm in the minority on that opinion.
Nah, he can be kind of like, cheesy. I'll give you that for sure.
Super, super
cheesy. He reminds me of the Kingpin in one of the cheesy, like early aughts Spider-Man PlayStation games.
Sure.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
That's funny. Yeah, I do. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know people they like D'Onofrio a lot. Good for them. I'm not one of them. I will say in She-Hulk most recently, they gave him a little bit more humor. I don't want him that light and I don't want him that dark. I want him somewhere in the middle because that's who the character was. And I know Daredevil almost as well as I know Spider-Man. So Daredevil is a character that I love. I absolutely love the character Daredevil. And I'm sorry, but I think, I hate to say it, the Ben Affleck movie, director's cut version, was better in terms of finding the elements of Daredevil that work than the show was on Netflix. That's my opinion, and I know nobody agrees with me, so you don't have to write in. I know.
I like the movie.
That's what I think. I do too, and I think Michael Clark Duncan wipes the floor with D'Onofrio as Kingpin. Sorry. There. That's where I am on the TV shows. So I guess I'm more excited about the movies than I am the TV show. There aren't many of the movies that I'm jacked for, though. Guardians, yes. Captain America, yeah, I guess I'm pretty excited about that. Blade,
I was going to say Blade has to be top of your list.
I love Blade. I really love Blade. So, yeah. But Phase 4, man, I didn't like a lot. And I want to say, can I go on record as saying this? I think it was a mistake not recasting Chadwick Boseman.
Why?
Even though I think, is it fair to say a spoiler of how that wrapped up at this point? It's been a while.
It's only been a month.
No, it hasn't been a month. It came out in November.
Okay, well then.
Where did your time go?
I'll word it like this. Even though the new Black Panther is great, I have no problem with the new Black Panther. I just don't think, based on that movie, the physical prowess didn't work for me. I hope that's different in the new one. But I like the actor a lot, and I feel like that'll definitely work. But I just feel like that whole movie ended up being a whole rebuild. Like from the start, it was basically a new origin story. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I've already done this movie. That's how I felt.
Well, what I'll say is they did a great job possibly setting up a new villain. And I'm not talking about Namor on this either. But they did a great job possibly setting up a new villain. And I really appreciated that. I like the stinger at the end where it comes back to a bit more hope in what the stinger in the end teaches us.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
I felt like Namor learned absolutely nothing from his actions. And all he learned is, I just wait.
Yeah, I should do it better next time. That's what he was learning.
That's all I read from it as far as what he learned from what he's going to do. I'll just wait. Cause when I wait, I'm going to have a partner in crime. I guarantee you. And there's things about that movie that I didn't like. I didn't like that they built this whole underwater city and then shadowed it completely so that you couldn't see what's happening very well. I didn't like that they built this great, rich background as far as a story and then didn't explain some of the other aspects very well. The fact that he had winged feet, I kind of love and hate because one, it doesn't look good on screen, but two, I loved how he used it on screen. And then the reason why he's called Namor, I hate it. I absolutely hate the fact that they're like, all right, well, he calls himself Namor because he doesn't have love. Shut up. And I hate you people.
Okay. Fair point.
I don't have a counterpoint to this.
Yeah, I don't either. So I think, you know, And coming to it, I feel like every time what's the best way to say it? I went to, the shows have been too much. It's really exhausted me, which means I haven't finished. I started strong trying to finish them and then I just gave up. I just got tired of all the Marvel content. And then, you know, Thor, Love and Thunder, which I'm also going lore and blunder, didn't work for me at all on any level. Mm-hmm. Wakanda Forever, I liked. I feel like maybe they didn't make the right choice there. But it's a different kind of Marvel movie, and I think it works on its own terms. Just not necessarily the direction I think they probably should have gone. And Ant-Man was a big whiff. I don't think it's a bad movie, just an okay movie. And so that makes it hard to get me excited. But they introduced this new big bad that's supposed to, you know, take on the Marvel Universe. And I was kind of, his performance is good and could be good, but, you know, they keep saying he's bigger and badder than Thanos. It's not there yet for me. Like, Thanos really, I thought, dropped the hammer from the get-go, and Kang's not doing it.
Now, Kang, and I don't believe in the comics was Kang ever bigger or badder than Thanos. They, as far as the hierarchy of things go, he's supposed to be different. And I don't, when they announced him being the big bad, I never won. Let me be clear. Jonathan Majors, I think, is a awesome choice, and I want to see him in more things. And I can't wait to see how he acts as the character Kang. I just think Kang is a bad choice in general, especially compared to Thanos. Like, there are other villains they could have gone with.
I will reserve most of my thoughts on Kang for the spoiler part, but as much as I do like Majors, I just don't think that this is the right direction for this character, for Marvel, for the films. I just was very disappointed. So, do you guys fall in line with, you think that there's still potential for Marvel to be what it's always been and continue on that path? Or does this basically, what are we saying right now, like, because we're getting more neutralized to a lot of the content, that maybe it has run its course, or it started to run its course to the end?
I don't want to say it there and say that they've run the course. I don't think that's a case when it comes to just about anything out there in the world. I just think what we've seen, considering the time frame in which we're all living in, considering the what we've all just experienced as far as worldwide and what we're still kind of fighting with worldwide, I don't think that we are in exactly the best of headspaces to appreciate what it is they're giving us. The quality can be called whiffs or misses or whatever it is, or missteps, all you want. And it's fair. I think it's very fair to say that. Can they turn it around? Of course they can. They've always turned it around. You can turn around just about anything, except for maybe Star Wars at this point. And the Titanic.
And the Titanic.
Yeah, it can always be turned around. It can always be turned around. It only takes one movie to really just win you all back into it, right? I mean, it really just takes one big win. Guardians could be that big win. I really feel like that'll be that could really tell the future of the MCU, is how well Guardians 3 delivers. Because James Gunn knows how to hit all the emotional beats, all the action beats, the hero beats, the villain beats. I mean, I think the weirdness. I mean, you know, Ant-Man was trying really hard to hit that weirdness factor and didn't quite have the same grasp that James Gunn has.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, a good call out. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of getting to the point. I don't want to say that they've reached their end by any means. I think there's still so much potential, but I'm starting to feel a little bit DC'd by Marvel, if that makes sense.
Hey.
I know. I'm not supposed to compare, and I'm not supposed to bring up DC and all
First
that good
of all,
stuff.
Right. You're not supposed to compare the two.
I know. Okay? But the problem with DC's DCEU up to this point has been a lack of consistent vision and cohesiveness in the vision.
Okay, I can't argue that point.
Okay, thank you. And I feel like I'm starting to see a little bit of that breakdown in Marvel beginning in this phase. I don't know if you guys are similar in feeling kind of that. And I know it's a slap on the wrist. You're not supposed to compare it to DC and everything, but honestly, it's starting to feel like there's just not cohesiveness enough.
Well, I think we've touched on it, and I guess we can come right out and say it. With the expansion into television the way they didn't do themselves any sort of favors. With the expansion into television, it diluted the market to an extent in which we keep on expecting something else, and we're not getting it because they are not able to focus on any one thing like they used to be able to. I think going television, though, for some of the characters like Captain America and She-Hulk were a better way of doing it. On the other hand, or let's throw Scarlet Witch into the mix too, because otherwise Amanda's going to riot or something. But for Loki, it didn't do Loki exactly any favors. It didn't do Moon Knight was just fine.
Agreed.
As much as I really wanted it to be something different than what we got, or something better than what we got, it was just fine. Oh, actually, I keep on forgetting about this. Hawkeye,
spectacular! I loved Hawkeye. Loved it. I think Aaron even liked it too, right?
Loved Hawkeye. Loved Hawkeye.
I loved everything about Hawkeye. I think that was a great hit for them. But again, they're focusing on so many things and expanding the story so quickly that they mm-hmm. lost their ability to focus on the one universe like they had been.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you. That is, yes. Look at John putting words to my thoughts.
While you're talking about Hawkeye, one thing that really impressed me was how they strategically planned it for the Stinger months later that a Snowcat is actually the ultimate villain.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, that was funny. It was wrong of you, but it was funny.
He's okay. It's okay.
He is okay. He's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't lose any limbs or anything in the process.
Also, how goddamn heroic.
He's a hero.
Saving a child or something. And
yeah.
Oh my God.
Chris Evans tweets at him. I forget what the tweets are, but Chris Evans is basically like, of course there's a hero out there, a real hero out there, and it's my friend this. And, you know, I had to go out there for you to check on the Snowcat to make sure you didn't destroy it.
Oh, that's really cute. I like that.
There was a lot of cute tweets back and forth with them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I see it. That's one tough MF-er. Has anyone even checked on the Snowcat?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's cute.
That's funny. All right, we could probably move on. I mean, unless you guys want to elaborate more. I mean, do you get... here's what I can say. I do not have the same excitement to go to a Marvel movie mm-hmm. opening night as I did even a year and a half ago. And I think the onslaught of quantity is probably what hurt that more than anything.
I would love to be able to say that I agree with you, but considering my situation in which the going to the movies has been a habit that was completely broken for me, when it comes to most anything, I have to rebuild that habit before I can agree with you or not.
As much as I'll agree with everything that you're saying, apparently Marvel can still get us to get out of our seats. Even if we're not excited, we're very neutral. We've had so much faith in them for 10, 12 years now that we're still running to the box office to see something. I mean, they're expecting to have a 120-ish million box office opening for Ant-Man. So people are still getting their ass out of their house and going to see these Marvel movies. So Marvel is still doing something right, but I do think that if they don't correct their trajectory, then they're going to start to see that dissipate. They just ended on too good of a note, I think, too, with Phase 3, that it's hard mm-hmm. to triumph that.
Okay. I like that. That's a good way to end. Good way to end, Amanda.
Thank you.
Way to bring it home.
Way to bring it home. Hey, speaking of bringing things home, you can bring Significant Other home on digital right now. Meka Monroe and Jake Lacy star in this twisted sci-fi thriller as a young couple on a remote hiking trip who sense they may not be alone. Significant Other is on digital now, and it's rated R from Paramount Pictures. I can tell you, I saw this, and it's a good film, and it's got a hell of a twist. I won't tell you anything about it. Hell of a twist, so it's worth picking up. Significant Other. Okay, now we're going to move on to our Patreon listener questions. This is we're still talking about Ant-Man and Quantumania. I'm sure people that loved it are really excited about our conversation on that one. But we asked our Patreon supporters, they want add anything we wanted to talk about, and we're going to pick one from each. Some people sent multiple ones. We're not going to hit every question, but we're going to pick one question from each person. So, and again, if you want to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. That's patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Go support us, man. Even if it's a buck, you can still take part in these questions. And if you pay a little bit more than a buck, you get the half hour power hour, which is John's Last of Us show that will change kind of course in a little bit, as well as Bad Movie Night dedicated to exclusively to Patreon. Okay. Jay Howard, with streaming platforms losing so much money, what does the future hold for all these streamers? Who wants to take a shot?
I'll kick it off. I have some significant concern for Netflix, if I'm being honest. I think they're the one that's in most dire straits that we rely on very heavily still. Disney Plus and Hulu are not going anywhere. Disney has so much money. And even if it's just for like an archival membership, I think people are still willing to pay for it, especially parents and families. So I think Disney is going to be fine. But Netflix, with this release of their new concept and it being implemented in other countries before the United States, hopefully will give them an opportunity to reconsider, because I do worry about this impact on Netflix and whether they're going to be able to sustain, or if they're actually going to see a deeper loss because of these new ideas. Basically, we're like, you can't necessarily share accounts with people that are outside of your home and you have to validate it. And I don't even, from what I've understood from IT people, doesn't sound like Netflix has done enough due diligence to really, if they have understood how it's going to work, they haven't communicated that well enough to people. So they're the one that I have the most concern about.
I feel like you're already hearing about it from Disney. Bob Iger, you know, since he took back over the company, he's already talking about, we have to streamline our costs. We got to bring costs down. We got to do all that. People have to be in line with budgets, that sort of thing. So I think you're going to see I don't want to say the quality is going to go down, but I think the budgets are going to come down. They're going to be more down to earth and more reasonable. I feel like, you know, Netflix is the only one doing something a little different because they don't have a theatrical model. That's why they charge more as well. But I think prices are still going to come up on Disney. You know, I feel like you're going to see more going back to theaters. Iger's already said that. He's trying to he's talking about or speculating that he's going to probably increase the windows from theatrical to digital, because during COVID, families got so used to waiting for movies to hit Disney Plus, they stopped going to the theater to see family films. That's a huge market for Disney. So they're going to increase those windows. And the window, for people that don't realize it, window is the time it hits a theater to the time it hits like Disney Plus or digital. They're going to increase that. Currently, it's like 45 days or 30 or 45 days, whatever it is. And I think they're going to increase that a lot further out because they want people to go to the theaters. As has been proven, I'm just saying, I've said this the whole time, but whatever. As has been proven, they make more money with big budget spectacle in theaters than they ever do on digital. It's just a fact.
Just the facts of life.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Movie Girl. I'd love to hear how each of the hosts found The Hollywood Outsider and why they chose to be a host. Also, how Aaron started the show. You guys go first.
Okay. So I found the show because I was looking for my own movie podcast. I was, because my partner at the time, she had me listening to podcasts for the first time ever. And a lot of the podcasts that she listened to were very hoity-toity, snooty podcasts about movies. And I didn't want to do that. I found them insulting to people who just love movies, no matter what kind of movie they are. I found them insulting to me for liking what I liked. And it just irritated me. So I had been searching for a podcast for a while of normal people who love movies, and that's how I came across these guys. The Hollywood Outsider. Now, almost immediately, I felt like every time I was listening to the show, I was listening to a bunch of my friends, and the way my friends and I talked to each other about movies, and I really appreciated it. And then this show started becoming such a big part of my life because anytime there was something hard going on in my life, because I was going through a couple of different turbulent things, this show was my way of getting through the tougher moments so that I can get to someplace else where I can feel those feelings. And then a friend of mine who I had turned onto the podcast had developed a relationship with a friendly relationship with Aaron. Aaron was in Orlando and we all went to go meet Aaron, and Aaron and I kicked it off pretty well. And then from that point on, Aaron was like, "Hey, do you want to come on the show and be a guest judge for this battle royale we're doing?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And I fit in pretty well with then. And then as time went on, there was more times for me to show up and be like, "Well, I'm going to fill in for so-and-so because I have an awesome voice." And yeah.
Oh, are we supposed to agree at this point? I'm sorry.
I left it open.
That's all true. Yeah. That's all true.
It's all true. So, there was an opening on the show. Aaron asked me to be a part of it, and then I jumped at it because, again, this show is something that brings me a lot of joy. I wanted the opportunity to do something inspiring, because one of my own personal goals in life is to find inspiration and hold on to inspiration wherever I can, because I believe life is better that way. And yeah, that's what it is, and that's how I got here.
So I have known Aaron for a while, and the podcast was one that I listened to regularly. I always enjoyed listening to Brian and Justin give everybody all the shit. It was always just so much fun. And because I listened to the podcast and knew Aaron, kind of similarly to John, had an opportunity to guest on the podcast. And I think my first episode that I guested on was one of our female and horror episodes, I believe is what it was, because I'm a big horror movie fan. And so it was Aaron, Justin, myself, and actually a good friend of Justin's as well, to kind of get some lady voices on, and had a really good time with that. I think we had good chemistry, messed around with each other, and it was a lot of fun. And then as time progressed, John got onto the show. I continued listening to it. Aaron was evaluating, you know, a potential fourth chair to have on the show. Or actually, I think it was just a third, because it was just the three of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was me just kind of coming in as potential replacement.
Yeah, because Scott had bailed on us like the kind of monster he is.
Scott quit on everyone. That's all right. He was going for his master's. I get it. So, with that departure became an opportunity, and went through the quote-unquote vetting process with Aaron and the team to make sure that, like, we were all cohesive and good and we gelled well. And that was pretty much the end of that story. And I enjoy doing it. I think it's fun. I like to talk, obviously. And I like to talk about movies and TV. That's where my passion and my heart is. It's what I enjoy doing is, and I know that always sounds really lazy and lame, but it is. It's an art. I enjoy it.
Cool. I expect to see you more often.
Shade.
That was good. You know what? Shade. Honestly, at this point, deserved. Even, yeah.
To me, I'll try to be succinct. Well, and also how Aaron started the show. I was doing a podcast for gaming called The Official Thread with Scott Clark, who you've probably heard on here, and definitely you can hear on Patreon. And I wanted, very much for the same reason that John was talking about, I had listened to a lot of movie podcasts, and they were kind of shitty, honestly. Like, they were all snooty on movies that I like, Transformers, things like that, Michael Bay, I mean, it was all just art form, just the artsy films, just the character dramas. And I love those too. I love those. That's most of what plays at South By, but there's a lot of genre stuff. So I go to that every, I love all movies. I just don't like when people are snobby about something. If it's not for you, say it's not for you. If you don't like it, say you don't like it. It doesn't mean that it's awful just because you don't like it though. There is someone that is someone's favorite movie. And I've always lived by the creed that 400 people worked on that. Don't just shit all over it without trying to find something to like, and also see it for what the filmmaker intended, not for what you wanted. That's a big thing that I think people get hung up on. And I'm a film critic. So, but a lot of that was spawned from The Hollywood Outsider. So I wanted to do it at the time. Nobody was doing that where they were talking positively about all movies. It was always just very much whatever genre or niche they were into. And so I created something. I wanted something really broad and that also had a topic every week and had interesting voices. And so I started doing it. That's why. And how I learned, I did all the hard work, you know. Now it's a lot easier now to get into podcasting, which is probably why there's so many people doing it, but it was a lot harder then. And I had to learn a lot of tips and tricks along the way and tools. Troy Henritz has been he was always a big help as well throughout the years, especially with the technical side of it. So all those things combined. Stanley Daniel, what's your favorite cocktail or non-alcoholic beverage? Oh, Stan's coming with something fun.
I have to say that currently I'm doing some things to get my weight back under control and get myself back to being healthier. If I'm having a cocktail, I'm going very simply with a vodka soda.
Amanda, what you got? What do you drink?
It depends. Depends on what kind of vibe I'm going for. If I'm just like out having dinner or something like that and I want a drink or I'm meeting someone, I'll probably just, if they have it, I'll get a raspberry Moscow Mule. If you haven't had one that's raspberry, it is delicious. But I'm also a big fan of, I shouldn't say big fan, I hardly ever drink, Roscato wine. Captain Morgan. Captain and Coke is a good one if I'm trying to have a good time. And non-alcoholic beverage, water, apple juice, and Dr. Pepper.
Together?
No, not together.
Okay, thank God. That was a little... I'll give you both. Favorite cocktail is an old-fashioned. I know that makes me sound old, but I found them not too long ago, and I'm just like, I love them. And I probably drink them a little too much because my wife started saving orange peels in the freezer, and I feel like that's a sign that I have a problem. Yeah.
Is it whiskey in an old-fashioned? I've never had one.
There's two ways you can do it. You can do brandy old fashioned or you can do whiskey. I prefer a bourbon old fashioned. Yeah. Whiskey, bourbon's different, but it's whatever. People recognize it similarly.
Okay.
Get a good mix. Non-alcoholic favorite beverage is water. I drink a lot of water. I try to drink as much as I can. Probably dilute the alcohol. No, I've always, in the last 5 or 6 years, since I started running, 10 years then, I guess water's been my go-to.
Yeah, I do. I do. Well, I gave up soda a long time ago.
Yeah, same here. About
three or four years ago. There was a brief period. There's a brief period in the last year where I started drinking it on the weekends, but I'm back to 100%. If I'm drinking water, it's water. And if I want something special, I go get a AHA or a bubbly or Liquid Death has a couple of great flavors. No, I'm not one of those Fort Lauderdale whores that drink... LaCroix. Yes.
That hurts.
LaCroix used to be called Fort Lauderdale whore water.
I don't think that was an official title, but
it was for John.
Okay.
You know what I don't do is I don't do those liquid packets. I don't put that in water to, you know. Yes, because all I'm thinking is that's just a chemical. There's never a thing where chemicals are good for you.
I've been tempted for a couple of them. I've been like, you know, I really want to get that thing that makes the hydration even more effective.
I tried it and they're not good. I don't like them. I'd rather just drink straight water.
Which one did you try?
Liquid IV. And yeah. I think
those are the ones I keep thinking about trying. Oh, the lemon. I've heard the grape is the best one.
It doesn't matter. They're chemicals, man. They're bad for you. They are not healthy for you. They are not good for you. That's all I'm saying.
Drink Neither water. Is alcohol.
Well, I get that.
To be fair.
But people act like it's good for you. And it's like, it's a chemical packet that's supposed to increase water in your body. That's not how science should work. It's not. Just drink more water. Just drink more water. That's all you should do. Just do that.
True chains. I agree.
I'm just saying. Oy, we always have a solution through chemical. And that's not always the way we should go. We should try natural first. Chemical second. Always.
So what was Dr. Stan Daniels is appreciating this commentary from you, Aaron. Preaching.
I mean, I'm kind of like going back and forth against myself at this point, right? I'm like, alcohol is good. Liquid hydration packets are bad.
Well, see, alcohol comes out of the ground. Alcohol is something that you grow.
However you justify it.
Stan, right. Let me know if I'm selling
this
correctly.
It's like weed and alcohol. They go. They're the same argument.
I'm going to go buy Stan a drink and we're going to have a conversation.
Like, this alcohol is good for you because all I did is leave this liquid out to rot.
And I'm drinking the stuff that rotted out of it. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Nate Bruce, what was the best and worst Super Bowl commercial this year? Best was probably that Dunkin' Donut one that I referenced earlier in the podcast that John also referenced that I piggybacked off of that I'm sure Nate understood completely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm sure Nate is completely on your side.
I take that back. I take it back. Rockstar. The Rockstar one, I don't remember the product, and I never do. But the Rockstar one where you have Rockstars basically saying, stop saying Rockstar, you're not a Rockstar. I thought that was the best Super Bowl commercial.
That would be right up your alley.
Yeah, that was hysterical. Hysterical. Worst, I don't remember what the worst one was. I try to focus on the positive, man. Don't you?
Yeah, I don't remember which one was the worst either. Not that I watched the Super Bowl or anything, but I didn't. I did go and look at all the commercials. I think all I had were favorites, and that Dunkin' Donuts one I really loved, and the Jeep ones I really loved.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
Yes, I'm simple.
I'm combining mine. It's the best and worst for the same reasons. And it's the Tubi commercial that literally had people yelling at each other, throwing remotes. I saw on Reddit a thread about a bunch of people who were now single after the Super Bowl because guys started getting like verbally or physically abusive because they thought that their wife or partner changed the channel on them during the Super Bowl and so flipped the fuck out.
Yeah, that was hysterical.
So I would say best and worst because I did too. I was like, what did I just do? Like, did my dog step on it? Did I do something with the remote? And then I see all these crazy stories coming out of the woodwork afterwards about people who, because, you know, it was a good ad. They convinced us all.
It was great. Yeah, made you remember it too. Tubi. Tubi.
But a lot of people got single after that, so Valentine's Day plans were ruined.
If you got single after that, you were going to be single anyway.
You were going to be single no matter what, yeah.
Just saying, a lot of crazy situations happened from that Tubi commercial.
It was kind of a dick. It was a dick move. They should call it Dick Move the Commercial, honestly.
Kind of genius, kind of hilarious, though.
Kind of. All right, Ty Nelson. He has three and we're limiting everybody to one. So Amanda, you haven't been here in 6 years. Pick a question. One of his questions. Any of his three.
I guess I'll go with, he mentioned that he just bought a telescope in an attempt to try a new hobby. And so he asks, do you have any new hobbies that you recently started or are thinking about starting? I'll say, hiking. I've been enjoying more lately, which is, I like to be inside. I haven't liked the outdoors because of bugs. And when it's hot, but Colorado is beautiful and the mountains are fun to climb around. So I've been enjoying that as, I guess you could say as a hobby, but also I had started knitting, last year sometime and it kind of fell off of my plate just, I think, between time and stuff. So I want to get back into that because it was a lot of fun and it decompressed like my brain. It de-stressed me a bit. It was just I could focus on this activity while I'm like watching a movie or TV because I'm a very fidgety person. I have to have something else to do. I can't just lay there and not do anything, and stare at the TV. So I have to do something. So
okay.
I kind of want to get back into knitting. What about you guys?
Maybe, try the new hobby of podcasting once in a while.
There's two. The jokes are endless today.
They just keep writing themselves.
Bitches. I know. I love you guys though.
John, any new hobby?
I mean, I'm a hobby whore. So, I mean, I have my drones that I'm trying to get back into. I have, and I don't like calling this a hobby, but I have my artwork that I'm trying to get my head back into again. I'm trying to get back into going to movies again because that's a bit of a hobby. There's as far as like, there's a lot of things that I'm trying to get back to now that I'm in a place where I can get back into enjoy things. The new thing that I've been rolling around in my head is there's these things called e-foils and e-boards, and e-foils and e-boards are basically electric powered surfboards for the ocean or lakes, and that looks like a lot of fun, and I want to be able, I've been thinking about getting out and doing something like that where I'm out in the ocean, hopefully being eaten by a shark at any given moment or something like that.
I don't have room for any new hobbies. I just don't. My time is full. So
what are the hobbies you have currently?
Sure. Travel. I love to travel. I will take any opportunity to travel. I'm a big travel fan. I like to go new places, see new things. I like to try new experiences. I wouldn't call it a hobby, but I'm trying to not collect stuff. Is that a hobby? Because I'm trying to.
Yes, because that's a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, through my whole life, I've collected stuff, and I'm trying very, very hard not to do that anymore and not have things and buy stuff. So, yeah, otherwise, movies, the usual, nothing too crazy. And I've got enough of them, and God knows I'm not taking on anymore. All right. Last listener question. Rebecca Trimbo, if you could choose a career in film or TV production, which job would you choose? Director. Used to be writer, but I think more director now. I feel like I have a good hold of production value and where to place things. I've seen the big picture and what I want and where I want it. So
I would personally go for probably a music supervisor. One thing that I've always done kind of without realizing it is when I hear a song, I can sometimes I'll make my own movie scene to the music, and I'll kind of like place it where I think it will. And so I kind of make like a little scene visual in my head while the music's playing, and vice versa. Sometimes I can watch, I shouldn't say sometimes, when I'm watching a movie scene, I can figure out whether the song selection or score selection is appropriate or not for that sequence. And so I think that I would probably be pretty good at that because I understand how music translates to emotion. So that's what I would love to do. That'd be fun.
I would like to be a best boy just because I want to be somebody's best boy.
Okay. Do you have a serious answer?
My serious answer would be concept artist, or art director, something along those lines.
Yeah, I can see that. For Pixar.
No.
He would be part of the heavy metal remake, I'm sure.
Right. No, I mean, it, not, not okay, that was wrong. I mean, I could do that. But, you know, it's funny because you mentioned that because there was the one time I was watching the Oscars and I was sitting there. I'm like, I know that guy. And he was getting the Oscar for the short of with the pug in it. Or I think it was a Boston Terrier, the Pixar short with a Boston Terrier. And he was getting the Oscar for it. And I realized that I had worked on a presentation with him in one of my classes when I was in art school. And I was like, that's really cool.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
That was an interesting question, Rebecca.
It was. Thank you for thinking of us. We appreciate it. All right. We're going to talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, a little bit with some spoilers. But John is not going to be here for that because he has not seen it. So everybody bid adieu to Mr. Dan.
Yep. I'm out of here, kids.
Bye, John.
Go get yourself a glazed donut.
See, it still sounds dirty.
Well, you probably would be dirty with it. And thank God there's a hole already in it. All right. Take care, John.
All right, guys. Bye.
Okay, Amanda, we're going to talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Scott Lang and Hope Van Dyne, along with Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne, explore the quantum realm where they interact with strange creatures and embark on an adventure that goes beyond the limits of what they thought was possible. And also, we've got Cassie Lang, Catherine Newton from Freaky. She's here for Cassie.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Majors is Kang the Conqueror. There's some cameos. We're gonna talk about the spoilers here in a second. So why don't we just knock this out? $10 full price of admission. Where do you put Ant-Man, and you can summarize your thoughts.
At full price of admission, it's $10. I'm going to give this one $5, and I think that's a little bit generous.
Okay. Why do you think that? Oh, just generic thoughts.
Generic thoughts. The villain of the story was very disappointing to me. The dialogue came across very cheesy. There were a lot of moments in general that came across very cheesy. Even some of the acting. It just felt like a subpar Marvel movie for sure. And I know that I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, but I think they overshot putting Michelle Pfeiffer as kind of like the leading lady, if you will.
Whoa.
In a lot of ways.
Okay.
I just...
Please explain, because I'm not with you on that one. I loved Michelle Pfeiffer.
I know. And I like her. And this isn't me saying that I don't like her, but I don't think that she should have been... They gave her such a prominent role that I don't think she was able to carry the movie for me. And I think they were relying on her to carry it.
Okay. I liked Michelle Pfeiffer. She was probably her and Jonathan Majors were probably the highlight performance wise. Because I think Jonathan Majors as King the Conqueror was given everything he could to it. I have no problem with the performance. Didn't love the movie. I give it 4
out of 10. See, I thought he was cheesy.
We'll talk about that more in depth here in a second. 4 out of 10 is what I give it. Summarize. I think Kang could be interesting, but was kind of way underutilized here. I agree with that. Evangeline Lilly should be suing her stylist. That's a whole different story. Paul Rudd and Michelle Pfeiffer, I thought were as strong as ever, and still this movie is just a snooze fest. I was bored through most of it. For at least half of it. And where the hell was Lewis? Where was Lewis? Lewis is the best part of both of the first two movies of this trilogy, I guess. And God, he was missed. He really was. I just thought it was a weak story, over-reliance on special effects, overstuffed. It felt very much like it was the weird Star Wars, but there were way too many Jar Jar Binks running around. So it's more Phantom Menace. It's the Phantom Menace of Marvel. That's what it is. Okay. We're going to talk about spoilers because we're not going to spend an hour on this movie, but we do want to kind of go into some of it. So if you haven't seen it, maybe don't listen past this part. Okay. You've been warned. All right, Amanda, go ahead. What don't you like? What about King the Conqueror bothered you? Let's talk about King. They're saying he's bigger than Thanos. He's going to be a bigger deal.
Okay. Jonathan Majors is a fantastic actor. He does the most with every performance for every opportunity he's given. So I do not feel this is a reflection on him. I think it's the way his character was written and the way that it came across. It was just so, I don't know. He wasn't a big, bad enough, scary to me to justify this movie, if I'm being perfectly honest. And I feel like the character kind of came off, was written very weak. So I did not care much for his character. I love him as an actor, just did not, there wasn't much honestly in this movie that had me caring except for Cassie. I liked her and Paul Rudd, obviously. He's always phenomenal. But beyond that, this entire movie was a bit lackluster for me.
Yeah, and I like Jonathan Majors' performance. He's a really cool actor. At the end of Loki, where he pops up, I thought it was interesting. It was the only interesting thing in the whole series, as far as I was concerned. I will say, I'm also not a multiverse fan. I don't love the multiverse. I'm tired of it. I'm already burned out on it. It's just basically like an easy escape from every plot issue you have, rather than being held to account for mistakes in writing. But I also just felt like the writing was really weak overall. And, you know, I guess you're setting Kang up. I don't love this whole concept of like there's a different variants. There's always a different version of Kang. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm already bored with that. I know that's a personal problem. So I'm just telling you where I'm coming from. Ant-Man going up against Kang just seemed ridiculous because, no offense, Paul Rudd, I love you, but Jonathan Majors could beat you to next weekend. Pretty easily on accident.
Yep. On accident.
Just on accident. Oh, man. So when they were in the regular world, It felt much more like an Ant-Man movie. I thought the Quantum Realm is just basically, like I said, overstuffed with special effects. Everything is just, look, we'll show you stuff, but we won't have any substance. We don't have any, there was really no heart except Scott and Cassie. I liked their relationship and how it kind of comes together. I liked the book. I liked Michelle Pfeiffer, and we got to know what she was doing while she was in the quantum realm and kind of how she survived. Bill Murray's cameo was a little wasted. Michael Douglas doesn't really do anything of merit here to warrant being along for the ride other than just being Michael Douglas. Then you've got the additional tribes that help fight and everything else. And none of that really clicked for me. Didn't work for me. I felt like it was all a bit forced. It just, the whole movie felt very forced. It didn't feel natural. Didn't feel like the previous two Ant-Man movies, which I liked both of them. Second one I liked a lot.
The second one was definitely the best of the trilogy. I loved the second one. And I think part of that too was Ant-Man's co-pilot, his partner in crime, if you will, mm-hmm. and how funny he was. And we were missing that here.
Yeah. Well, I said that. Lewis is the man. Lewis tells a better story than anybody in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It's so sad. I just miss him so much. I miss Lewis. Oh, my God. So, I mean, they're setting up this big Marvel villain that's going to have, I mean, Avenger movies directed and devoted directly to him. So far, I'm just not seeing it. And I don't like the playing with time and playing with universes and all that. I mean, that's just confusion waiting to happen, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed too when it came to Ant-Man as a superhero, I guess. I mean, so I'm a little torn on this. And are we in full spoiler? Can I get full spoiler?
Yes, we're full spoilers. Go nuts.
Okay. So the ending where the ants are really the they're the heroes of the story. I thought that was really cool. But at the same time, I felt like Ant-Man didn't necessarily have enough to do in this movie because we had more Cassie and her origin story, if you will, which is good. I liked her. I liked that she had a suit. I liked that she was moving forward with all that. I liked that the ants had a part to play in the heroism of the story, but it did feel a little Ant-Man lackluster, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Too.
I mean, the Wasp is here too, but she's kicking ass through the whole movie. So she's always doing something. She's active. I feel like Ant-Man, I guess he runs around all large once in a while. Just reliving that Civil War action.
I guess the only other thing that I would add is MODOK literally made me want to exit the theater and never return. I don't know how, why, when, where, what approved for this to exist, but there should be a lot of regrets, okay? Regrets for everybody. So that's probably also one of the worst parts of this film and actually took me out of it so many times, but I'll stop my ranting. That's my feelings.
Yeah. MODOK, man. I'm talking about all the Star Wars comparisons and reminds me a lot of Jar Jar Binks, man. That's how bad I thought MODOK was. But there's a lot of Jar Jars in this thing. Holes. I got so many holes. That's Jar Jar too. But yeah, it doesn't work at all. I know the character from the comic book and it's actually kind of a funny character. But the effect is horrible, like just a horrible effect. And I like Kerry Stoll as an actor. Why Peyton Reed decided to go this route, because it isn't really how the character goes. But, you know, it works, I guess, for them. But a lot of people seem to laugh at it. I thought it was annoying as hell. The effect was terrible. I just thought it was bad, very bad. I'm serious. Every time I saw him, I'm like, that's the Jar Jar moment right there. Another Jar Jar moment. Misa's sick of this. So, yeah, MODOK didn't work for me either. Nope. Yeah, overall, I mean, we try to focus on the positive here at the old Hollywood Outsider, so I don't want to drone on too long about this movie because I really just didn't enjoy it. I wouldn't say it's a bad movie, though. I'm sure many people are. It's just not a good one. I mean, it's just an okay one. It's fine. I'll never watch it again. I didn't like the stinger like I talked about where you've got the multiple Kangs and you've got Owen Wilson and and Loki there, because, you know, if you didn't see the Loki show, that means nothing to you. So it just, yeah, feels like a bummer. I hate ending the show on a bummer, but it's going to end on a bummer. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did not. I don't think I would ever go and rewatch this movie again, unfortunately. This falls into kind of in line with Thor Love and Thunder for me, where I just have a lot of disinterest in any of it, really. And there's so much there that I should be interested in, that I should be excited about, but I just, it falls short for me.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Well, I think that's going to do it. We already talked about the movie. I guess, what did you like? We got to leave on a positive. What did you like?
You know, I really loved, anytime I have Paul Rudd, I love him. There's never going to be a bad time where I say, or a time where I say that he underperformed. He was underutilized, absolutely, but he was still fantastic. I love that we had Jonathan Majors here again, despite his character's writing. Catherine Newton was probably the biggest highlight for me, aside from Bill Murray. Bill Murray was so much fun, and I'm never going to turn away an opportunity to have him come into some films. But Cassie Lang, I'm excited to see where her character goes. Obviously, in the comics, she follows kind of that same path and trajectory as her father, which we're starting to see here. So Catherine Newton was definitely a highlight for me.
Yeah, I would agree. She was fun. She was good. All the casting was good to me. I had no problem with any of the casting. It was really a story issue. So happy to see the cast. I like Ant-Man. I would still watch another Ant-Man movie, as long as we're not in the quantum realm, apparently. So, okay.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. Thinking on it some more, I was originally at a 450, and then I thought I was going to be too harsh, but hearing you at a 4, I'm gonna go back to what my original thought was, which is 450. You made me feel better about making that okay. Choice.
Fair enough.
I needed someone to justify my decision.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode. And remember, the next time you head to a theater or sit comfortably on your couch streaming previous Ant-Man movies that are much more enjoyable because Lewis is there, buy popcorn.